WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Harvey Keitel has become the mature woman's heartthrob thanks to his starring role in The Piano. He would not have reached that status from his roles in my guest Abel Ferrara's movies. Ferrara cast him in Bad Lieutenant as a depraved cop who deals drugs, gambles, and gets off on sexual self-debasement. Keitel also stars in Ferrara's new film, Dangerous Game. Keitel plays a director whose films about debauchery start to intrude on his life as a family man. Madonna plays the actress Keitel is directing. Dangerous Game is the first film produced by Madonna's company. Director Abel Ferrara has been called the poet gangster of the cinema. His film Ms. 45 was about a mute woman who, after being raped twice in one day, buys a gun to take revenge against men. King of New York starred Christopher Walken as a drug dealer back on the scene after getting out of prison. I asked Abel Ferrara what he likes about working with Harvey Keitel, the star of Ferrara's last two films.
Oh, man, you know, it's hard to describe what makes you really dig an actor, you know, and why you feel like, you know, they have the ability to embody the ideas and the emotions that the film needs to express. But, you know, for me, he's got it. You know, for me, there's something there. I mean, he's just so simpatico to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think he just really knows, like in dialogue, he really knows where all the accents and where all the beats should be in each line of dialogue. He's just so magnetic, you know, in the way he reads and in his presence on screen.
Yeah, because he's got a depth of emotions and feelings that he's in touch with that he can back up, you know, back it up. I mean, he's not saying words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, I mean, it sounds like, you know, new wave religion, but, you know, he's in touch with his feelings, man. I mean, it's that simple, but which, I don't know, that's what acting's all about, you know.
Let me ask you about what is probably the most famous scene from Bad Lieutenant. In Bad Lieutenant, Keitel plays a crooked cop who deals drugs and keeps drug money, and he's also sexually obsessed. And there's a scene where
sounds like a good movie.
Yeah, there's a scene where he stops a car with two young women who are driving. I think it's without their registration. And it turns out it's their father's car,
right.
And they'll be in deep trouble if Keitel reports them. So he knows he could take advantage of them in return for not reporting them. So he asks one of the women to pull down her pants and the other to move her mouth the way she does during oral sex. And then he unzips his pants and masturbates while he's watching them.
I don't mean to laugh.
Hey, it's your
it's
movie.
Not as, yeah, it's not as bad when you see it as when the way you say it. Like,
well,
sounds worse over the radio.
Well, what we see is his facial expression. We don't see the part of him that's exposed.
Right.
But I think it's like the most compelling example I can think of on film of self-debasement.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about coming up with the scene and directing the scene?
You know, I mean, that moment of, you know, the power a cop has, you know, the power someone with, or someone in a power position, as opposed to, you know, the person he's oppressing, you know, and that balance of, like, power and authority. I mean, what was going to happen out there that night, who knows? You know, I mean, the screen, Zoe was there at the time. You know, everyone was there. It's two young girls on a dark, deserted street. He's got the badge. He's got the gun. He's just gone through that moment where he saw the nun being examined, you know. He's obviously, you know, out there on something, you know, other than tomato juice. And, yeah, what was he going to do? You know, the fact that he never touched them was the real hook for me, you know. Because I know when I saw the scene going down, I was saying, well, you know. Because when, you know, the initial conception of that scene was almost a funny scene, you know.
What was the initial conception?
I don't know. They would get out. In the script, it just said the lieutenant on a side street near the West Side Highway. I forget the line. But it was like he plays it out till dawn. In other words, they're out there. Anything could. They could have turned on a radio and danced in the streets. I mean, there's a 900 ways that scene could have went. But, yeah, it went pretty hardcore, actually. That was, you're right, that was pretty strong stuff.
So how much of that scene was improvised? Most of it was improvised?
Well, we talked about it, you know. We discussed it. But, you know, you don't want to talk too much about what you're going to do, you know? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we're able to work with a certain kind of freedom because we just have the wherewithal to do those kind of things. And you know, I you don't want to talk these things to death. You know, he's coming out there. I mean, he's the bad lieutenant, right? And what's he pulling him over for anyway?
So
he could care less if they had a registration, if they had their taillights. You know, what does he care about, you know, someone breaking the law? You know, he was on another agenda, you know.
Were you astonished when you saw what Keitel was doing in that scene?
Well, I'm beyond astonishment with these guys at this point, you know. It was good, you know, I felt something, you know. There's also the point that who knows really what, you know, when you've seen something like that the first time, I think, oh, you know, I was expecting something else, you know. A little more physical contact, if you know what I mean.
My guest is Abel Ferrara, director of Bad Lieutenant and the new film Dangerous Game. Both star Harvey Keitel. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with director Abel Ferrara. I think you have a really good eye for casting. And I think the best example of that I could give is King of New York, where the actors include Christopher Walken, Larry Fishburne, and this was before Larry Fishburne was the star he is today.
Before it was Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, right. David Caruso, who's now on NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi, who's become a lot better known since the film. He had a real small part in your movie. Giancarlo yeah. Esposito, who's since become better known. Really incredible cast.
And Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes, of course. How can I forget that? So how did you bring together this ensemble of people? Did you know all of their work before?
Fishburne, you know, we know him from Apocalypse Now, man. You know, we've been wanting to work with him from 1977 or whenever we saw that movie for the first time. These are people I knew. You know, I've worked with all of them before, you know. So to me, they weren't unknowns to me, you mm-hmm. know. To me, Larry Fishburne has always, or Lawrence Fishburne has always been a star, you know, since 1977. You know, Caruso or Esposito, those are, you know, Paul Calderon, those are famous people, you know, quote unquote, they're big movie actors to me, or big, you know, I mean, they're strong actors, and they're working actors, and the people I've seen and worked with for years, you know, and all kinds of stuff, even if it's just sitting around talking about films, maybe we could never get off. Wesley came out of left field. Him I didn't know before that. But, you know, I mean, you know, you walk in a room where Wesley's in, I mean, you know, you have to be a fool not to cast him.
Take somebody like Christopher Walken, who's...
Yeah, that was the obvious choice. I mean, someone...
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a pretty well-known actor and should be an incredible star.
But he is. I mean, why...
Well, what I'm wondering is, I don't know how much of a budget you had on King of New York, but...
He got plenty for that.
Oh, did he? Okay, that's what I was wondering about.
Yeah, no, he got paid. But, you know, it's not saying a star. I mean, Christopher, I mean, how, you know, the guy is in all kinds of movies. He has a great body of work. You mm-hmm. go out to see him do Iago in a Park. He's awesome. You know, I mean, what more can a guy do? You know, he does, you know, even something like Sarah Straight and Tall. You know, I mean, the guy's dynamite. I mean, you know, what else can he do?
Now, how do ratings affect your films? I think Bad Lieutenant had an NC-17, which is the rating that basically replaced the X.
Yeah.
Did that hurt you commercially, or was it in a way a help because it said, oh, this film must be really different?
Yeah, I think it helped. It's hard to say, you know what I mean, because you don't really figure out what makes people go to the movie. Or, you know, it's like the whole thing with advertising or, I mean, who knows why someone buys Coca-Cola instead of Pepsi-Cola? They still can't figure that out. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know if it would have helped or not helped, or if that film was rated R, it would have been, you know. I mean, it doesn't really matter the more I think about it. I mean, people are going to see certain movies, and an audience is going to come to a certain film, irregardless of what the rating is. I mean, you get a vibe about a film, so.
Do you oppose the rating system? Having had at least one of your films
what, the MPAA?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I abhor them. You can oppose them. I, you know, forget about my feelings towards them. I mean, it's like, you know, KGB time, man. It's like fascist America. You know, I you can't believe how angry it makes me. But I mean, how am I going to vent my anger? By standing there and, like, defending the film, hoping I'll get a rating?
So what makes you angry about it?
makes it angry. It's an intrusion on my right of free speech. That's my work. I have one right. That's to do my work. That's to do my art. Somebody's going to tell me my art cannot be seen by these group of people. All right? I'm just talking on a philosophical level. If you really want to get to the practical level, if a film's rated NC-17, it can't play at one shopping mall in this whole country.
Do you ever opt for no rating, knowing that you'd probably get an NC-17? In other words, to not submit it at all? And are the consequences of that the same as having NC-17?
Of course. You can't be. If you're not rated, you're not. I'm not talking about what you can do in New York. I mean, in New York, you could show anything, you know. Somewhere you're going to get it shown and you're going to get the ads in the paper. But I'm talking about when you're actually trying to make, you know, it an economic reality that, you know, you're spending money and hopefully getting your investment back. You can forget about it, you know. That's the power of that board. I mean, these are powerful, you know, restrictions they're putting on, you know, your right in the marketplace.
So do you see yourself as having one foot in the art house and one foot in Times Square?
Yeah, you know. But for me, 42nd Street is the art house. You know, and you know, that's where it's at for me. It's these films play all places, all times, to all different audiences all over the world in all kinds of, you know, ways. You know, from television to videotape to this, that, and the other thing. So, you know, we do what we got to do, you know, and we do what we're meant to do. And then the life of a movie is, you know, for me, is a lot longer than the opening weekend, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these films exist over a long period of time, so people see it, and they see it twice. And the same person who could see it in an art house will see it in, you know, in a drive-in theater, you know?
Abel Ferrara, he directed the new film Dangerous Game, starring Harvey Keitel and Madonna. This is Fresh Air.